Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. I appreciate y'all listening. I really do. You know, whenever I meet just people out talking and they listen to the show, I'm always a little bit surprised by it, like in a pleasant way, like, oh, that's really great. I appreciate that. And it just is, it's a really nice, I don't say it very often, but, you know, for this Yankee who moved to the South and all of a sudden people in the South are, you know, love the show. I'm like, I appreciate y'all feeding my family. Sheriff Chip Simmons is, you know, moderately approved.
We're inclusive.
That's right. We're a cosmopolitan community. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Let's just briefly start with the incident at Core Station last week. Of course, massive response, you know, turned out to be nothing. But, I mean, you know, you get shots fired, reported on a military facility, you go. Or anywhere, right?
You know, ever since Columbine and Parkland, I mean, we trained to go to the threat. And to go to the threat, you got to get to the threat, right? You have to get as much information as you possibly can, make it to the threat, and then eliminate the threat. So we're pushing. We were actually at the building, and I could hear people saying, push, 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 push. There's this mentality that you got to push. Now, you can't push, you know, when other officers are coming right at you, you got to kind of, you know, be tactical about that. But the response was terrific. Obviously, being our jurisdiction, we had the most people there.
How many officers? How many deputies?
We probably had about 100 deputies.
Wow.
That were there. And then PPD eventually got there.
Uh-huh.
FHP eventually got there. And some other people got there. Again, they're distanced. They have to go a greater distance because it's not
there. And Navy Security came over from NAS Pensacola?
Navy Security was there from the beginning.
All right.
Now, I don't know where they came from. I'm assuming they have some right there at Corey.
Sure.
I know when I got there, and it was relatively quick, there were already a handful of Navy police officers that were there. And participating in a room clearing. We had, and that's part of the complication is that, you know, we don't have their radio channel. They don't have our radio channel. We don't have the keys. They have the keys. Who has the keys? Who, you know, but that happens in every one of these events. You just have to use common sense and say, okay, where is the noise supposed to be coming from? In this case, we did have, because there's nothing to it, I can talk a little bit more about it than I normally would.
Yeah.
We had information that there was an individual hold up in one of the rooms on the second floor. And so, we can't all rush to that room. Some people have to cover, you know, other areas. We're still looking for potential victims and that sort of thing. So we ended up getting to that room, and then we had to tear that door down because we did not have time to wait for a key to come from the key depot, wherever they got the keys.
Wherever the administrative repository
is. So we got ended up getting those buildings cleared, and then we went a complete check of it one time, and then we checked one more time, you know, just to make sure. Mm-hmm.
I think you and I actually chatted in between, or while you were in the second
suite.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the first one, I feel it's important to let people know that everyone's okay, and that at this point, I'm very careful with my words. At this point, we find no evidence of an active shooter, no evidence of anyone being injured. So we're still trying to figure out how this happened and what happened. And from what I understand, there were up to a dozen military personnel that heard what they thought were three shots.
Okay.
When you have this many people calling, a couple of 911 calls, you're going to go there, and you're going to go there as fast as you can, because, again, that's how lives are saved. That's how they were saved at NES. That's how they would be saved, you know, should the worst have taken place over at Corey Station. That's how lives are saved at schools, at malls, right. anywhere.
Because in these emergency situations, whether it's a fire or, you know, building collapse or an active shooter or whatever the thing is, seconds can make a difference, and certainly minutes make a difference. And, you know, waiting to confirm is not the protocol. We'd rather send 100 officers and a half dozen paramedics and then find out it's nothing than not send them and it turns out to be something.
Yeah, and I do need to say that fire, EMS, they were there. They're setting up a command post, which is exactly what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if there were bodies inside or an injured individual, mm-hmm. we know right where the ambulance goes. We send them right over there.
And you do those trainings all the time. I mean, not all, but like you do them routinely. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have kind of real life scenarios that we continue to work on. Now, mm-hmm. we'll critique this one because nothing goes perfectly. But I again, a special shout out to EMS, to fire, Escambia County EMS, Escambia County Fire. And again, we appreciate Pensacola Police coming. It's not their jurisdiction, but obviously we have this relationship to where if something happens in Escambia County and we need them, they're going to come. If something happens in Pensacola, we were going to come and help them as well. So it was in Highway Patrol as well. They showed up.
Had it been response. Not on the base, had it been you know, several different 911 calls to some building, mm-hmm. you know, some building downtown or whatever. Same response?
Yeah. No, I think same response.
Because I know for a lot of people it was like, it was obviously, I know Pensacola is vividly in our minds, but it's not that you're extra going to it because it's a military facility. You're just going to it because it's a credible shots fired active shooter threat, right?
Yeah, I think that any shots fired threat is going to get a tremendous response. When you're talking about a potential active shooter, and again, I'd be lying if I said that didn't play into it, what happened in 2019. Mm-hmm. We all know that, what happened. And we're like, oh, no, is this something else too? Because that was a serious a terrorist act. I mean, yeah. He died with over 300 rounds on him. So, you know, our guys were able to take him out way before he did as much damage as he wanted to do. So there are opportunities. If it's at the mall, then you send as many people as you can because the mall's so big. You don't want someone to get away, and there could be so many potential victims. So the response is similar in that we're all trying to get there. If you're close, you're going. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. If it's a small convenience store, then obviously there's no need to have 100 deputies there.
Right.
Okay. Hopefully, the first five or ten that could arrive can take care of business.
I it's probably going to sound like it's a criticism, and it's really not. I just was curious how that choice of what response to send, only because I actually called in a shots fired in my neighborhood on Friday night, mm-hmm. And it was like I was kind of napping on my couch and bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. I'm like, oh, that's not fireworks. You know, and I called it in because I never assume anybody else is going to call it in. And a lot of people talk themselves out of it, right? They say, well, somebody else will do it, or they're not sure or whatever.
Or I'll wait to hear a name, a siren or something.
Right, which is long past. But I was looking on the map, and I didn't see a, like, dispatch unit or anything like that. But you always send somebody. If there's a report of shots fired.
If there's reports of shots fired, someone is always dispatched to that area.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll do a check because you may not have been the only person called.
Sure.
Someone else may have called and says, it may have been fireworks, it may not be fireworks. A third person may have called and said, no, it looks like it's gone now, there's nothing there.
Okay.
So, but we still do a drive-by at least. If anyone's hit, then we're going to go there no matter what.
Right.
But I can take a look at that one and see what the scenario was and see if they...
And I told dispatch I didn't need to talk to anybody. You know, okay. I just wanted to let them know. And, you know, yeah. if it's a serious thing, I don't want to be waiting. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, well, we usually don't wait for the shots fired calls. Those are pretty high on our priority. Unless someone says, we're not sure if we heard shots fired.
Right.
It could be fireworks. And obviously, we're going to... And then we wait and see who else calls because as we're en route, we'll determine it because things develop.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times we'll get a call to a scene of an armed disturbance, and then we'll say, our dispatcher will say, I'm getting three more calls. That typically lets us know that this is something bigger, and so we'll have more backup.
And as you said, at Corey, it was multiple, and, you know, that was an important part of the information set. We had a traffic stop on 29 that led to the arrest of two individuals on several different drug-related charges last week.
Yeah, we got a couple winners here. William Coleman and John Peters, I guess. We have a good pictures of all the drugs. Our narcotics guys that seized this drugs, put it on a piece of paper, separated it, and so that people know exactly what's going on. And they did that because of the different amounts of drugs and different types of drugs. They located trafficking amounts, which, as you know, is the higher amount mm-hmm. of fentanyl, trafficking amount of heroin, a trafficking amount of methamphetamine, some cocaine, some Xanax, some marijuana, some oxycodone, and some paraphernalia. So this is a lot of drugs, as you can see. You're really up to no good. You're driving around on 29 with all of this different types of, you know.
This is a pharmacy. I'm looking at the picture on your social media page. And when you say piece of paper, it's a... Like
cardboard,
a poster board.
Sheet, yeah,
it's a display case for a science fair project or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what this looks like.
It does look on display. We
eight
we
pipes, three knives, all kinds of different, you know, and then it's kind of funny because, you know, it says, here's crack cocaine, here's fentanyl, here's even more fentanyl, here's heroin, here's Xanax, here's more cocaine. Like, it's just, your folks had some fun
with it.
We just
want people to know what they're doing. Like you said, it looks like a science project of a loser. You know, just show on this project, show us what a loser looks like. And then they post this little thing on a poster board.
If somebody had a drug tackle box, this is it laid out on a table.
You open that thing up, yeah.
That's what it looks
but,
like.
But, I mean, we do joke a bit, but how many lives could be lost from these two clowns doing this amount of drugs? Because trafficking amount of fentanyl can kill many people. And then you mix it with heroin and methamphetamine. I'm obviously proud of the deputy's work that's out there, which is we haven't posted as many of these because as I talk to my narcotics guys, they say, hey, people are kind of running a little bit short of courage with the cars too, getting out there because we're always on them. We have a couple cameras up on 29, and I smile every time I hear that, you know, that we're being effective with regards to proactive and reactive type stuff. And I told them, people like this, you stop that car and you arrest them. If you have to bump them, you have to bump them.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I were in the car the other day, and we drove past one of your camera vans that says Escambia County Sheriff's Surveillance Vehicle. And she's like, what good is that? And I said, deterrence. And exactly, she said, oh, no, I get it now. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we put it in red.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It's not hiding.
Those who aren't familiar, we have this van. We call it like the... I don't know, drug eradication.
You need a name. I mean, you got the Rook. Yeah. You need a name for the van.
Yeah, we had a name. And we put it in red letters. We have like 18 cameras around it.
Discouragement.
And we just park it in right away, which we're legally able to park it. And people complain and said, you guys, they know what it is. No kidding. No kidding. There's cameras all over it. It can even talk to them, you know, and say, get away from my car or something like that.
I love it.
But yeah, we do that obviously for a deterrence. And when we have. We don't have manpower that can stay there 24 hours a day.
I did want to ask you, just because this has been on social media, and, you know, sometimes on social media they do not get 100% of the facts accurate. There was a complaint had to do with over there on Murphy Lane by the Washburn Center where there I know there have been a lot of homeless folks. The complaint was that you guys were involved or code enforcement was involved in moving somebody, and as a result they died. Do you want to maybe
talk about that? That's the
allegation, so... I know you like to respond to rumors.
Typically, well, I'll just kind of let, you know, now you can't please everyone. You know, you're doing what you can do. In this particular case, the county code enforcement and sheriff's office and code enforcement works very well. But code enforcement was going to clean this area, this county area, across from the Washburn Center. So they asked us to help move the people just so they can clean it up and then they can go back. So we got there and they say, this is county property. They're going to clean this thing up. Can you move? They packed up. They moved. And then the county code enforcement and the sheriff's office left. 3 days later, unfortunately, an individual does pass away. But consider this. All we did was move them so it can be cleaned up. They're not even supposed to be there, right? So we moved them so it can be cleaned up, and they return back there. 3 days later, the individual, again, tragically passes away, and somehow that's code enforcement's fault. Somehow that's the sheriff's office's fault. And keep in mind, they're right across the street from a facility that is assisting the homeless. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming they already had their gates locked, which not sure why they locked their gates if you're going to help somebody. When you lock your gates, you cause people to camp outside your area. That's just
what happens. And that has been a recurrent, persistent problem on Murphy Lane for quite some time now, yeah.
Yeah, again, I don't want to cast too much shade on people that want to help the homeless.
Right.
But I can tell you that the sheriff's office has given more assistance and has given more information as to where to go to get services. And as the county has brought services to these individuals, and sometimes you just can't, they won't accept services. Secondly, a lot of these people have family members in town. And if the family members in town can't help them, can't provide whatever they need or won't provide whatever they need, what do they expect sheriff's office employees to do? What do you expect code enforcement to do? What do you expect, quite honestly, the Board of County Commissioners to do? This is certainly a problem that I think the county needs to address and to tackle, and they're taking steps to do so. On the back of every one of our citations is a list of the resources that are available. We obviously have
a heart. Oh, I didn't know that. Makes sense.
Well, we recreate our ticket just so we can put the information on the back of a ticket. So if you're not supposed to be there, we'll write you a warning ticket. Oh, look on the back of that. If you don't want to be here, if you don't want to get a ticket, if you don't want this to be your life, these are resources in our community that you can go to. And so we're trying to do what we can. But for people to come up there and say, oh, you guys should have done this and that, I suggest they look internally first.
No, I didn't know you guys are doing that, so I appreciate you letting us know. Last thing, we've only got about 30 seconds, but Blazer Academy graduation tonight. How many youth have you guys helped?
The sixth class, and about 20 males will graduate, and we start the female Blazer Academy in about 2-3 weeks.
That's the third one for the females?
Third one for the females.
So that's your... getting 150, 200 people so far through the program?
Yeah, it's pretty good. In fact, we're about to announce an alumni class for the the male side because we have so many more.
Okay.
And say, hey, why don't you come back and just for about half the time, three weeks, let's, where are you at? Where have you come from the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what would you have liked to have seen? And then let's transition from a 13, 14, 15-year-old mentorship program to a 17, 18, maybe even 19-year-old. Let's, you know, do you have a job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of car do you have? Do you have any questions now that you didn't have? Or your question is different? Or is your philosophy different? Let's talk about that, and let's try to help.
I love it. I mean, follow-up, data, mm-hmm. fix, you know, improving exactly. the system, you know, not just doing it so we can say we did it, but doing it to have the result we want to have. I mean, I love all that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. Always talking with even about things that are, you know, maybe challenges or perceptions you get. People have, you guys haven't done something wrong. And sometimes you do wrong.
There was a time. No.
And when it happens, you know, fix it, work, make it better, and move on, right?
I may be the one of the few politicians that have actually called a press conference and said, hey, we could have done this better.
Yeah.
I don't recall of any others. And maybe they haven't done anything wrong, but I can tell you that we have an impossible job. And we work at night. We work with drug addicts. We work with bad guys, with guns. And if you consider all that, we do a fantastic job.
Sheriff Simmons, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You bet.